This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Well, we've got the measles. Not us, yeah. Not Amy Marks Kors, yeah. Not Chris Ranji, but we do know there is at least one case in St. Louis, and that's not good as it has spread around the country over the last several months. And to discuss that with us and what happens moving forward, Candace DeMatteis is the Vice President of Policy and Advocacy for the Partnership to Fight Infectious Disease and is with us now on KMOX. We appreciate you being with us today. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
So what do we know about this first case, how it got here? We know it came from Illinois, but what do we know about that person in particular and where they may have gotten it?
Well, it's hard to trace exactly where measles, you know, the exposure, but the reality is if you're not immune, if you haven't had it as a child or been exposed in your lifetime or been vaccinated against it, you are very highly likely to get measles in a room full of unvaccinated people, say 10 people who are unvaccinated or otherwise not immune. Someone walks in with measles, 9 out of those 10 people will get measles. That's how infectious it is. So sometimes it's a little hard to pinpoint. We've seen cases come in from people visiting other countries, people visiting other parts of the U.S. where measles is more prevalent, and then bringing it back home, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think we know now that the person was an adult, because I know there has been so much focus on the outbreak among children, especially in Texas. So I guess my first question will be, I know I got a measles vaccine. I'm 41, but I heard that the vaccine changed in the 60s or something. And so if you're older, do you need to get revaccinated?
It really depends. There was a change in the vaccine. When I got vaccinated, I was born in the 60s, I got one shot against measles, mumps, and rubella. And that vaccine has then changed now. It is much more effective. So two shots are now the norm, and it's 97% effective in terms of preventing you from getting measles. There are tests that adults can get just to test the level of antibodies you have if you have a question. We just advise people to talk to your healthcare provider if you have any concerns about that, and they can let you know if it's a good idea to get a booster. They can test your antibodies levels and make that determination, or just maybe recommend getting a booster just to be safe.
Okay, so then just to clarify, let's say if you're born in the 60s, you would recommend talking to your healthcare provider. If you're born in the 70s, 80s, or 90s, you're probably okay with your vaccine.
You should be, assuming you were vaccinated as a child. Of course, there's that initial question, were you vaccinated at all? So,
What's interesting,
and I think I was going to say, I think that it was the cutoff period is a little earlier than the 60s. But again, talk to your healthcare provider and they can certainly let you know.
I know that, and we're going to talk about this in a moment, because apparently the vast majority of people are on board with still getting vaccinated for things like this. But there has been this growing anti-vaccine sentiment since COVID happened, as you are well aware of that. How much of that has affected the measles vaccine in particular?
It's a great question. And measles, the measles vaccine has been the subject of a lot of misinformation that has helped to, you know, raise skepticism, raise doubts. And candidly, we haven't seen, other than, you know, this year and more recent outbreaks, measles is something we don't really think about or talk about because the vaccine has been so effective in eliminating it. So when you're looking at, well, should I vaccinate? Should I not? Measles, who gets measles these days? Those types of, you know, considerations come into play. We do know that in Missouri, for example, the statewide vaccination rate for measles is at 90% right now. Public health experts, infectious disease experts would recommend that that level be at 95% to really prevent the types of outbreaks that we're seeing in other parts of the country. So we do have some work to do there. And unfortunately, there is a lot of misinformation, particularly about this, the MMR vaccine. But there are a number of others. We're seeing whooping cough making a comeback, and that's the vaccine. Pertussis is the disease. Had some babies die in Louisiana this year from a vaccine-preventable disease of whooping cough. So it's measles in some way is the canary in the coal mine. It's so highly infectious, but many worry that this is just the first outbreak of many potentially vaccine-preventable diseases if we don't get those vaccination rates back where they need to be.
Just to make this clear, what's happening now is highly unusual, correct? Or is it a thing that, well, there have been measles cases, it's just that we never hear about it, but now we're hypersensitive to it?
No, there have been changes. I mean, many people have been warning for a number of years about the drop-off in vaccination rates, and it's creating this situation where for 25 years, we have had a status of eradication of measles in the U.S., that we got that in 2000. We are at significant risk of losing that eradication status. If measles spreads and continues throughout the U.S. for a year, 12-month period, we will lose that status. So it is unusual, and we are at a tipping point in terms of vaccine-preventable illnesses and being able to avoid the, you know, the burden of disease that can be preventable through vaccines.
Yeah, I can imagine how frustrating that is. I know that Missouri had a second case of measles in New Madrid County, unrelated to the person that we saw here in the city of St. Louis. So when you see one case pop up, what is your reaction? Like, oh, like this is inevitably the beginning of an outbreak, or is there hope that it can be contained?
No, there's absolutely hope that it can be contained. When you will have, especially when people travel to other countries, for example, where measles is endemic, you may have people come back. So you may have a case here and there. An outbreak is where you have cases related to that initial person getting measles, and then it starts to spread and you can tie it back to that, you know, initial case, if you will. And that's what we're seeing in West Texas, where that, you know, it started with one case, but it has spread dramatically. And so that's really the concern, is can we get control? Can we identify where the exposure were so people can be aware, so they can quarantine, so they can, you know, avoid people in the community who may be exposed? There's still an opportunity to get vaccinated even after you've been exposed for a couple of days, where the vaccination can help, you know, either make the disease lesser or maybe avoid it altogether. So there are opportunities, but you got to intervene quickly and get a handle on it quickly.
Public Opinion Strategies and Lake Research did a bipartisan poll. They conducted one asking people about vaccines, and it's still 3/4 of American voters think the United States should prioritize, you know, ensuring that the FDA approved vaccines are available to everybody. It almost feels like in this environment, it's 50-50, like some people are on board and, you know, like half the people are on board and half aren't. So for people who are still skeptical about this, because one thing you heard a lot from COVID or during COVID was, well, the vaccine's out here, but people are still getting it. People are still getting sick. So why should I trust anything? For people who still have those doubts, what would you say to them?
Well, a couple of things. One is that vaccines are different for different diseases. COVID, coronaviruses mutate very quickly. So, and influenza viruses, some people, you know, may, well, the flu vaccine's not, you know, I got vaccinated, I got the flu, those, or I never get vaccinated and I don't get the flu. So there are people that compare and make these generalizations, but you need to look at each vaccine specifically and the protective effects. MMR vaccine is 97% effective against measles. So that's very, and I mean, from getting measles. So that's one thing, is that you have to make sure you understand, you know, for these specific illness, what's the vaccine, what's the effectiveness rate? And then talk to your healthcare provider. We are inundated with information from all kinds of sources that are not science-based or medical-based. And talk to your personal healthcare provider. They know you, they know what your risks are, and they can provide the best advice for what you should do.
Yeah, and you talked about the different vaccines for different diseases, and different vaccines have been around for so long. Let's say someone is uncomfortable or skeptical of the COVID vaccine, because we know that that was a big talking point, you know, for a lot of people. I get it. I understand it. You can ask your healthcare provider questions about the COVID vaccine, but then also treat that completely differently than the MMR vaccine or like the polio vaccine, things that had been around for so, so long. Better to ask questions than to throw them all out.
Exactly. Exactly. And to talk to someone who has that medical information and that background to give you that information.
But I do want to talk about those mRNA, the ones that, you know, the vaccines that a lot of people are skeptical of.
Like the COVID mRNA.
They're like, well, it's new technology and it came out of nowhere and it hasn't been tested, but it has been highly tested, correct? Over many years, it's been around for a long time.
That's right. The mRNA technology has been in research for decades. And so it was, you know, there's a lot of data and information. Now, COVID was a new virus. COVID-19 was a new virus. The technology that was used with the mRNA had not been used for vaccines before, but it had been researched safety and effectiveness for a number of different diseases, and really holds a lot of promise in a number of different areas related to cancer treatment and all kinds of other things. So just because it's new doesn't mean it should be frightening. And then also it's important to keep in mind there are COVID vaccines that do not use mRNA technology. So if people wanted to protect themselves against COVID, but maybe don't want to take an mRNA vaccine, there are other options. So again, it's you know, making sure you have the right information and trust, talk to someone you trust, a pharmacist, a nurse, a healthcare, a provider, a physician, and get that information.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you are someone who's taking care of a parent, the parent isn't in a care facility or anything like that, but you're the child looking out for your parent, what would you place the emphasis on just going over to them and talking to them about when they got their measles vaccine and talking to a doctor, maybe kind of encouraging them to do that?
Well, and it, again, the age difference makes a big difference here. So for example, I talked to my parents a lot about vaccines. The RSV vaccine came out. They're in the age group that's highly vulnerable. So things like that, it is important to have those conversations amongst your family and make sure that people are well protected. For measles, it depends again on the age cohort you're talking about. Measles was so prevalent before 1960s, before the vaccine came out, that a lot of people will assume that you were exposed as a child, if you were born in the, 50s or earlier, or mid 60s and earlier, before the vaccines were available. So again, I think that that is a conversation to have to make sure to know your vaccination status, to talk to family members about their vaccination status, and just make sure people are protected and are encouraged to seek information from their healthcare provider about, you know, how do I protect myself? How do I protect my family? Those are all valid questions and important ones.
Yeah, I'm wondering, since we're talking about people now, and this is just a bigger picture, stepping back and looking at it, the majority of people overwhelmingly still are in favor of vaccination efforts, but there's the growing sentiment against it. How much concern is there with the current, you know, Health and Human Services director and what he really wants and what he really thinks about vaccines and what will happen to us in the future here?
Well, people in power have a lot, they have the bully pulpit. They can really help to drive accurate information to help people make important decisions and informed decisions about their health. I know many are concerned because the messages coming from Secretary Kennedy and others seems may be creating more confusion. They seem a little mixed, like the MMR vaccine is the most effective way to prevent measles. That has been a statement and an important one. But then there have been some other statements that may cast doubt or raise concerns about side effects that aren't necessarily backed up by the medical and scientific data. So it's important that we, again, talk to people that we know and who know us in terms of health and medical experience. I think that's important. And then I think it's also important for any community leader to really make sure that you have the information that is going to help the people that you're trying to help. What's accurate? What's proven? Where I don't know, say I don't know, and, you know, point people to experts who do have that information.
Just a quick question. When it comes to the anti-vaccine movement that we've seen post-COVID, and then the results of that, how does it compare to that pre-COVID kind of anti-vaccine movement we saw in 2010, 2015, kind of like the Jenny McCarthy type talk that was making national headlines? Is this what we're seeing now worse?
I think it's much worse. And what people, I've heard public health people talk about this, and what they say is that COVID really gave a megaphone to voices that were already out there, you know, talking and providing, you know, negative and often false information about vaccines. But COVID just lit a fire under that. It gave a platform. There was a lot of anger related to the COVID shutdowns, mask wearing, a lot of resistance, vaccine mandates, mask mandates, stay at home mandates. I mean, we were all, you know, chafing under that kind of requirements, if you will. And it really drove a wedge. There were a lot of people who were, you know, very much on the side of safety, safety, safety. And there were others like, let's open this up. This is ridiculous. And that tension gave rise to a lot of people who perhaps were not anti-vaccine or, you know, had a lot of trust in vaccines to develop that trust and align with that movement. And it just, it gave it a lot of, you know, wind behind it, if you will, and the misinformation just proliferated. And we had the same time a growth in social media over that time in a big boom where everybody has a microphone and can spread information through multiple channels. So all of those factors really gave a lot more prominence to those voices, if you will, and that messaging.
Candace DeMatteis, the Vice President of Policy and Advocacy for the Partnership to Fight Infectious Disease. We appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
It is the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX.